When we left off on part 5 of our Identity series, we had just come to 1982. That year, HIV/AIDS had just become a part of the public conversation. And Andrew Zinn had been raided by federal authorities for supposedly facilitating illegal sex work, which we later learned was a setup by local police and the feds. The combination of those two things resulted in a reduction in the clientele for the inn, and as a result, a dropping revenue stream. The inn limped along before finally closing its doors for good in April of 1984. And for 40 years, no one really talked all that much about Andrew's Inn. But its history and legacy hovered in the local consciousness. So, all these years later, and we're just beginning to reflect on that legacy and appreciate Andrew's Inn's influence on the local community in general and the LGBTQ+ community in particular. It's only now that we've begun to hold space for the full story here and fill in the gaps for that story and for so many others. Finally, allowing us to answer the question we've been asking for the past 100 years in Bellows Falls. Who are we in this town? I'm Gail Golick, and this is The Secret Life of Death, Episode 8, Identity, Part 6.
So I don't know, do we want to...
Would you read it to us?
Or do you want us to read it? Or,
take turns reading.
Yeah.
I also find it interesting.
Naked. Okay. Oh, yep.
Okay. Hello.
There's some wieners. Okay.
You may recall from part 3 of episode 8 in the summer of 2020, I rallied some friends together, including John Madura, Michael Bruno, Adam Gearhart, and Kate Buckman, to chat, drink wine, and look at a vintage 1970s gay porno mag. I really had to twist some arms on that one. And beyond the joy of being communal country perverts...
It's so funny, it's called... What's the tagline? Just lifestyle for men?
The national magazine about men.
About men.
Which is, okay. So it's true.
Okay.
It's technically
like
true.
Health.
Yeah.
Illustrative.
Oh, look at that.
Is that the
is
Elks it? Lodge or
oh
the
Massage? That looks familiar.
The magazine, Blue Boy, was actually legitimate research material. But isn't it always? Okay, I'll stop that now. Blue Boy, being the equivalent of a gay Playboy, had good articles. And in the April 1979 issue, they did a piece about Andrew's Inn and how Bellows Falls just might be a nice, affordable, accepting place for gay people to live. I was hoping it would be fun to read the article for the first time with the gang. And it was.
Hi. Gold diggers. Oh, there's stuff popping out all over the place.
A turtleneck with no pants.
It's a bold statement.
You gotta get coverage somewhere. Go up the neck, take
the pants
off. So when
he's working on his motorcycle. It also has something that a New England town forefathers probably didn't plan for. A lot of gay people.
Hallelujah.
With a permanent population of about 3,800, one would expect Bellows...
But while reading that article together, I was hoping to capture some of their reflections and experiences on living in Bellows Falls today as out gay men, all of whom had moved here from elsewhere. That's not including me or Kate, we're local gals. After the hilarity of reading the ads for mesh pants subsided, we had a very interesting conversation about being out and living in Bellows Falls today. The order of speaking in this part of the conversation is Michael Bruno, me, John Madura, Kate Buckman, and then Adam Gearhart.
I do feel like the Andrews Inn has kind of shaped the community as far as acceptance goes. I mean, just talking to people who've grown up here, they grew up with that being part of the town, and I mean, gay people weren't really an outside thing. So it's really interesting.
So maybe for the generation after that, like, just even had the idea of gay people being part of a community, not just one here, one there, and they kind of...
It wasn't an abstract concept for people in the area.
I mean, when I was starting to come here almost 15 years ago, I was kind of welcomed by people letting me know that they're okay with it. So I think the Andrews Inn did have a portion or a part to do with that.
And for me, I'm glad that they were trailblazers, because that was certainly not me.
But I think it's interesting that, like, I didn't know that Andrews Inn existed at all. I mean, admittedly, when it was a thing, I was like, what, 4? But at the same time, I think you're probably right about it shaped the community in general a little bit.
But
it's funny that, like, we're not that far from Bellows Falls here, and I had no idea. And I asked my mom, and she was like, I've never heard of it.
And I think that's interesting, too, where even if you don't know specifically, but, you know, just the ripple effects of, you know, just the type of people, first, the type of area that it was to begin with, that people, like, came here and did it and felt comfortable, but then, you know, just... Because we're all so connected, whether, like, you know your next door neighbor or the people 3 doors down, you know them through someone. And, like, if you have this experience with someone and you think, oh, no, they're fine people. And you, it's like those values carry on, right? And so whether you were directly tied to it, you were probably, like, the area was influenced by
it. And it's also hard to be anonymous with such a small population.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like you just disappear into, you know, an alley in a city. You kind of have to see everybody the next day. Literally, like, on the street.
I
can't imagine a world where I couldn't have that attitude. And I would be a very bitter, bitter, angry person if there wasn't some level of acceptance. Because it's hard enough, even with a large circle of friends and a fairly accepting community. Because everywhere you go, you travel outside of your little bubble, and, you know, it might as well be 1840 in some places.
But you guys all sort of feel like moving to this, to Bellows Falls, was made somewhat easier by having had that community there before you.
Yeah.
It seems like it's all built on that over time. I mean, if you look at some of the people who moved here earlier and did stuff in town, there are connections to the Andrews Inn.
Yeah, and I have to say, I probably feel more accepted and more comfortable here than I did in Long Island.
Oh.
You know, even though it's closer to the city and there's a higher population, but I felt more physically threatened to, you know, to be myself there than I ever did up here.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
In a way, I think probably, like, each of us could probably trace our lineage to here, and, like, oh, you came here because who came before you, and I came here because of you, like, you, almost like you can trace why it's here and you get back to it. And I think Andrews Inn was probably
a
big factor.
It's like family roots, but through a circle of friends rather than actual blood.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
That is interesting, though. I guess I never really thought about tracing the lineage of how people ended up here and who came before them. And
I'm still amazed that I ended up moving to Bellows Falls and didn't know of this.
So you really didn't
know?
No. Really?
I didn't either.
Huh.
Just that, you know, I had a few friends that, you know, were family and told me it was, you know, a fairly safe area, but
so it really does.
I had no idea the history,
a legacy outside of just this area. As
yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed very inviting, I guess, when you talk to people.
But do you even know? Like, so I mean, you were passing through.
I don't know how I ended up here.
But did Matt? Like, was he like?
We had no connection here. No connection. Zero connection. We pulled off to get gas once, and we got like a real estate magazine out of a gas station or something.
Hmm.
And just going around the downtown, seeing stuff that was going on. They were redoing the Exner Block sidewalks and stuff, and the rundown historic buildings and everything are kind of really intrigued me. But then again, just talking about, you know, how one thing leads to another. I mean, seeing those renovations, I know a lot of them had to do with Robert McBride, and I know he had a connection to the Andrews Inn. And then also, I mean, I had no plans on moving here originally, but the neighbors were so inviting, and I mean, I was afraid originally the first time to let them know, but obviously anybody who talks to me will know. And they're like, oh, well, you know, aren't you sad that you can't be with your partner this weekend or whatever? And I mean, they made it, they stretched out. And I mean, so many of the neighbors were really, went out of their way to make me feel comfortable. So I don't know.
On Atkinson Street?
On Atkinson Street, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I only found out about the town because of you, because we were neighbors in New York. And, you know, I had contemplated Vermont because I just loved the scenery, but I knew nothing about any of the areas or what there would be for me job-wise or anything. I just found it appealing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. But, yeah, I guess...
There must be something about
it. I never really thought about that, but,
vibe.
Like, every little thing kind of builds on itself.
Every little thing does build on itself, and Michael would know. He has invested a lot in Bellows Falls since moving here all those years ago. He owns the Wyndham Antique Center in the downtown square, and along with a number of independent shops and businesses, there's a jewelry store, a flower shop, a couple of cafes, a coffee roaster, a couple of bookstores, a paper conservator, a gym, a hardware and outdoor goods store, the Opera House, which operates as a movie theater and performance space, a free live music venue, a number of bars, a pizza place, an independent radio station, several clothing stores, and an artist's co-op. The downtown continues to build off of the revitalization projects that were started in the 1970s with the town's Bicentennial Committee, and later with the Rockingham Arts and Museum Project, or RAMP, which renovated another large building in the downtown and rents affordable studio spaces to artists and craftspeople. As for the Hotel Wyndham building, well, other than its three shop spaces, the building was more or less vacant until 2005, when it was purchased by the Wyndham Development Group. They undertook extensive renovations, making the building more energy efficient and code compliant. And then, bringing our story full circle, they opened Popolo in 2012, a nice sit-down restaurant in the same space that housed Andrews Inn. Once again, helping to light up the downtown. And in another full circle moment.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Ooh.
In 2018.
Wow, you guys have been busy.
Yeah.
36 years after couple Tom Herman and Jeremy Yost closed Andrews Inn, another sit-down restaurant, co-owned and run by a couple, opened here in the downtown.
Hi, my name is Aline Martinez. I am co-owner of Wonder Bar Bellows Falls.
Yeah, and my name is Remy Walker. I'm also co-owner of Wonder Bar.
I met with Aline and Remy in July of 2021 to chat about their experience of finding Bellows Falls and opening a restaurant and bar here. Standing in the dining area of Wonder Bar, they walked me through the renovations they had undertaken during COVID that were just wrapping up.
And it's kind of all just come together now quite recently, well, quickly, I should say, because we were delayed for so long because of COVID.
Like, yeah.
Materials, and we're still waiting on furniture. yeah, we thought this would be a good time to renovate.
No, yeah.
Not the case.
Everybody else's idea, too, I think, which is the problem.
Yeah.
So, in getting to know Aline and Remy, it helps to know what their creation, Wonder Bar, is all about.
So, talking about Wonder Bar and what Wonder Bar is, or at least what I like to think it is, and it's a fun restaurant with a killer cocktail program and great craft beer. The food is seasonal. You know, we do work with a lot of local producers, so we're kind of tied to what nature can give us based on our location for most of the things. I think our flavors and the type of food we do is very eclectic. You know, we both come from diverse backgrounds and we like different foods from different places and different cultures, so we like to harmonize those flavors with local ingredients and kind of bring them together. And it's a very welcoming space for everyone who just wants to enjoy good food with good company.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, I was trying to articulate that. I think to piggyback, we welcome all kinds of people, all walks of life. You know, we want to be a place where anyone feels comfortable and welcome.
And as with so many people who have moved to Bellows Falls, going back to the Andrews Inn days, Aline and Remy were first brought to the area while visiting a friend.
And at that point in our life, we were tired of Miami. We were looking for a change. Vermont wasn't on the list of places we were considering, of course. but she knew we were looking for a change, and she invited us to come up here and check it out and see if we would like it in Vermont.
Because she adamantly said we would. I mean, I would like to say that she definitely was a big part of why we ended up in Vermont as a whole.
Yes, and we trust her opinion for a lot of things, so we figured why not give it a shot, and we came up for a couple weeks and we really liked it.
We loved it. I will honestly say, as cliche and cheesy as it sounds, for me it was almost like within the first moment. So I'm very intuitive and I feel a lot of things. I have a lot of emotions. I feel that, and I say it all the time, I'm a big proponent of Vermont. I try to sell Vermont all the time. You know, I try to get people to come here and experience it because I fundamentally think Vermont is a very magical place. For me, energetically, just that first day walking around, taking deep breaths, looking around, I almost instantly was like, I think Remy was too, we both were. We're instantly just like, wow, it's amazing here. And it was, without knowing it, until we were here, it was almost kind of exactly what we were looking for. You know, a simpler, slower paced, surrounded by nature.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, I think it's ironic that we wanted something slower and then we opened a restaurant.
Yes. Well, you know, things always work out.
Yeah, it's true.
And as the two settled on Vermont, they soon found just the right town. To be sure, as the new kids on the playground, they got an earful of local gossip about their new hometown.
It was really interesting how things played out because, you know, we made that decision, in all honesty, not knowing much of the history of Bellows Falls. And then as we started to kind of talk about Bellows Falls, you know, we actually did get, I won't say negative, but for lack of a better, you know, there was a lot of like, oh, Bellows Falls. Yeah. Oh, why Bellows Falls?
Especially from people around the area, like Walpole, Brattleboro.
The bad history or the negative or, oh, you know, it went through a really bad patch. And it was just very interesting for Remy and I because I feel that a lot of that negativity made us really love Bellows Falls even more. In a way, because once we were then privy to that information, you know, we did our own research and we did our own kind of, you know, reading up on, and I really appreciated its rich history. I don't see it as a negative. I think it was, you know, it brought us to present-day Bellows Falls, which is a great place.
And though Aline and Remy heard many stories of Bellows Falls and were told of the history of things like the railroad and the mills, they had no idea about the amazing LGBTQ+ history that had happened right across the square from the Wonder Bar.
We found that out after already having bought the building and being in the community.
Yeah.
We found that out after the fact, which was yet another reason why we loved. I mean, we instantly were like, wow, how cool is that? Like, how great is that?
Yeah, we almost took it as like a...
Yeah, for us, it was yet another sign.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things for us in our experience happened organically and naturally. And yeah, I would agree. That was definitely one sign that was like, okay, we're picking something up. We're continuing a torch.
And though that torch had been passed to the next generation, the man who founded Andrew's Inn as a gay bar in the 1970s, John Moises, lived long enough to see what Aline and Remy had done at Wonder Bar.
We met John Moises. He came in a couple times. He was a character.
Wait, who's John Moises?
He would always have this like big fur coat.
Oh!
I think it was like
that was
Beaver
John?
Yeah.
With the fabulous rings.
Yeah, all the jewelry.
Oh, we loved John.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. He lived in Springfield, yeah. He passed.
He did pass recently.
That's true. He was enthusiastic fan of Wundbar. Every time he came in, and now that I put to, he was very much like, it's just so fabulous. And he was fabulous in his big fur.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great.
The parallels between Andrew's Inn and Wonder Bar are almost too many to count. Made all the more fantastic by the fact that they seemingly came together by sheer coincidence. But there are some differences between the two restaurants, particularly when it came to their reception by the town.
I will say for us, our experience from the beginning we got here, the community has really been very sweet and kind and embracing to us.
Yeah.
You know, I think people really appreciate what we do and what we bring to the community, and I think people enjoy themselves here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people feel safe here.
A restaurant and bar providing a safe place for all people to gather in Bellows Falls. And the town being very welcoming of a business owned by an LGBTQ+ couple. There's something to be said for history repeating itself, albeit not exactly in the same way. And there's something to be said about having time to reflect on our past, taking advantage of that space to see and talk about things that perhaps we weren't ready or able to before. And difficult as it may be, it's ultimately good for us, that catharsis. And in all the years of struggle and woe, that's a lesson Bellows Falls has started to take to heart.
This is the story of the Star Hotel fire, the night of December 29th, 1981, and the days following, as told by the people who were there. Bellows Falls, Vermont is a small village.
In 2021, the local community television station, Fact 8 TV, produced a documentary called To Duty, the story of Terry Brown and Dana Fuller, two local firefighters who were killed in the fire at the Star Hotel. In the documentary, Fact 8 staff Mike Smith and Marty Gallagher interviewed a total of 17 people about their memories. Firefighters who were on the scene that night, as well as friends and family members of Terry Brown and Dana Fuller.
Scampering around and, you know, trying to do this and do that. And I'm sure that Terry and Dana came during this confusion and, you know, went in and do it. In the building, they had a wall collapse, and I remember that.
2021 marked the 40-year anniversary of that fire. And in addition to the documentary, funds were raised to create an official commemorative park on the site where the Star Hotel once stood. When completed, the park will not only honor the fallen men, but also inform a new generation of townspeople of what happened on that site.
What Terry and Dana did was heroic, and what Steve and Brent did was heroic. And we don't want to forget that. We want to remember what did happen here in town. It was part of the town culture. There were so many people that when you say, where were you at the Star Hotel, they'll know immediately. However, there's so many people that have been born since then or have moved here since then that in a way it almost is a part of the local culture that they're not familiar with. To me, it was a story that wasn't really explained well. So part of this is not just to memorialize them, but to tell the story.
As you may recall from part 3 of this series, the Star Hotel was located right next to the Hotel Wyndham building, where, in 1981, Andrew's Inn was then operating. They had a front row seat to the fire that night. And as the scale of the fire intensified, the inn opened its doors to the exhausted firemen, provided food, coffee, and a place to sit and catch their breath.
It went on forever. The Andrew's Inn people were very good. Now, this is sort of an aside to it, but they were making up coffee to take out to the firemen, and even London.
This frightening and terribly sad thing happened right in the inn's dooryard. It was witnessed by Tom Herman, Jeremy Yost, the inn's staff and patrons, and they all helped in whatever way they could. The events of that night impacted them, and they were very much a part of the story of what happened on that December night in 1981. And some 40 years later, their memories were finally added to the legend of the Star Hotel fire. Jeremy was interviewed by the documentary crew, and he provided a number of photos he had taken of the fire, which helped document the fire's timeline, and were later used in the movie.
I took a break and came back down, and there was this, Tom was out front with coffee already, with a tray serving coffee to people. And, when we had staff, working, making things here, and they also could come in, and just the firemen could come in and just, you know, literally get a breather.
And when the documentary premiered at the Bellows Falls Opera House in September of 2021, Jeremy was invited to attend. Fully aware of the associations many in town had to him, Tom, and the inn 40 years ago, Jeremy went, not knowing what kind of reception he would get. Here's Jeremy reflecting on that experience during my interview with him and Tom.
Because what I noticed when I was at the filming,
yes,
was that felt to me like it was a sort of second-handed attempt to ameliorate some of the black eye-ness, like, because how many people, and you weren't there, but how many of the firemen came up and personally thanked me?
Yeah. I think I would have been in tears if I had been there with you.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's like the first time when you said exonerated, that's the word I came to my mind. I left that place, that theater, feeling like, wow, I did not expect that, to have Gaetano come up and give me a hug, and say, gosh, thank you so much, you guys are an integral part of this whole, I'm like, what? How many years, decades later?
It is interesting what we see when we revisit old things with new insight. We get understanding and perspective. Perhaps see where we fell short back then and where there's a need to right an old wrong. It's rare we humans ever have the patience and humility to do the right thing the second time around. Rare, but not unheard of. Oh my goodness. Over these six shows, we've covered quite a bit of territory. Literally. We've hiked up a mountain, walked down Main Street, skulked around the hallways and basement bar in an old hotel. We've heard stories and relived a lot of old memories about queer costume balls, hotel party weekends, biker clubs, historical lesbians, and vintage gay porn. We've witnessed the growth, breakdown, and rebirth of an old New England mill town, posed existential questions to friends, partaken in community gossip, remembered and grieved for family members long gone. It hasn't always been a polite or comfortable conversation, but holy shit, has it been informative. I know I learned a lot. Some of it really surprised me, and some of it, sadly, did not. At the beginning of this series, I set out to tell the tale about the clash of cultures at a pivotal point in our local history. And I think this story about Andrew's Inn, the first openly gay bar and hotel in the state of Vermont, coming into its own during the gay rights movement of the 1970s and 80s, amongst the backdrop of an old-fashioned, traditional New England mill town, checked those boxes, yes? We took a deep historical dive into the stories of the LGBTQ+ and the local Bellows Falls communities, and discovered two groups of people who seemingly couldn't have been more different. Queer and straight, liberal and conservative, modern and traditional, etc. When their storylines intersected in 1973, it was a moment of transition for both groups. The LGBTQ+ community, on the precipice of living a more visible, out lifestyle, and the local Bellows Falls residents, trying to overcome years of stagnation and decline with a plan of recreating some of the town's past glory. Over the next 10 years, their worlds at times ran parallel, coexisting in a wary truce, at times intertwined in periods of communal danger and survival, but in the end diverged somewhat by intentional actions and unforeseeable events. Superficially, this is a story of two groups who were just so different they could never quite find a way to completely connect and forge a relationship. But as my research into this story went on, I realized that the LGBTQ+ community and the Bellows Falls town residents had more in common than would first appear. Their core motivations were actually the same. They were both searching desperately for a place to belong, to feel safe, have security and pride in their community. They weren't asking for much, only access to what they had long been denied. To have just enough for a simple life and the possibility of a stable future. These were two groups of people who had been left behind by the world. Perhaps that's what drew them together in the first place. But it wasn't enough to keep them together. The desire to fulfill our basic human needs is a thread that connects all of us. And while our needs may be the same, the way in which we go about getting those needs met often is not. Our wider, white, straight, cisgendered, patriarchal culture is fueled by this notion that there's not enough to go around, and that when times get tough and people feel threatened, rather than pull together on a plan that can benefit everyone, the reaction should be to remove competition for resources, often by laying waste to those just beneath us on the socioeconomic ladder. And we saw that happen in Bellows Falls. At the height of the town's economic uncertainty, and amid differing views on how the town should remake itself in the 1980s, pursue the traditional mill revitalization model, or shift gears and actively embrace more tourism, there was a controversial raid of sex workers at the inn. That raid played off of people's fears and assumptions about the LGBTQ+ community. It allowed them to scapegoat them for all of society's woes, and it made an example of them by showing what happens to a minority group who doesn't stay in their place. I know, those aren't nice things to hear about your town. But what's worse is that no one's ever really talked about it since it happened. Perhaps that's due to people's embarrassment, associating themselves and the town with sex and sexuality. Maybe it's their own shame, with people reflecting on what they thought about and did to LGBTQ+ people back in the day, or fear of what others would say today if they knew. Or maybe it's about power. Maintaining control in the present by controlling the narrative of the past. Either way, here it is, 2023, only 40 years later, and hardly anyone of my generation has ever heard of Andrews Inn, even within the LGBTQ+ community. It's a reminder of how empty spaces are created and how history is lost. These kinds of things happen in all our towns, which is why we need to know our history, all of it. Doing these deep historical dives will uncover things that will sadden and disappoint us. It's understandable to be scared by what we might find when we start digging around in old stories and asking questions. But if we ever want to do things better in this world, we have to know our truth and we have to sit with it. Because avoiding these difficult feelings and ignoring uncomfortable truths does not make them go away. Unspoken things still take up space in our consciousness. And without definition or form, they're allowed to permeate across the generations, creating empty spaces in people's lives, leaving them discontented and disconnected without ever knowing why. Which is why having the context of our stories is so important. With the full breadth of our stories laid bare, we can, for the first time perhaps, begin to clearly see ourselves, our communities, how events affected us and how we affected them. To be able to do all of that can take a change in perspective. And to change our perspective, well, often, that takes time.
It's so interesting, and I don't mean to sound too trite, but I'll say it, is that, you know, I was thinking about all the different people who lived in the area, who participated, either worked for us, or were allies, or came to the inn to be part of their community and the extended community. And it really seems to me like you have a battle in this town between fear and love.
Right.
That simple.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's, I mean, if you could put the emotion on that dichotomy, I think you're absolutely right. Because they were amazing miracles. I think there was a higher force directing, yes, and steering this thing. In just that.
Got us in, got us to do what we did, and got us out.
And got us out. Yeah. This was our world. So we brought the, I think the I'm happy that we brought the values to that, to create an environment that was with the intention of having the most benefit for the most people, gay or straight.
There were many moments that I thought, oh my goodness, this is just, I can't tolerate it, it's too much. And there are many moments of very sweet interaction of the different worlds, you know, and that's what I treasure.
For Jeremy Yost and Tom Herman and the people of Bellows Falls, this new perspective can't change the past, but it can change hearts.
He contacted me on Facebook. I don't really even recall what I did for him, but he does, and he just reached out to thank me.
We were in so many ways just pawns of these larger forces, you know, some good, some bad, that at least that's some of what I felt. But I will always, you know, I will sleep well at night and be, when I'm passing through the pearly gates, be very happy that we made a difference. I walked out of that theater.
Well, for you, it must have felt like an apology of sorts.
It did.
And an understanding.
It totally
did. I'm so glad you had.
Yeah, no, it was a total apology. It was like, oh my God. And that allowed me to look at it through a lens that I hadn't really looked at it. And it's like, whoa, we kind of did something.
We should all be so lucky to be able to look back on our lives and feel we've done something and made a difference. That's a nice way to end this story. But before we go, I want to go back to the question I posed at the beginning of this series. Is the story of who we think we are the same as the story of who we really are? And yeah, in the context of this show about gay culture, we can take that literally, that some are in the closet about their sexuality. But I think you've realized by now that I used this as a backdrop to ask that question more broadly. Because if we are honest, most of us hide our true selves in the truth of ourselves. The truth about the things we've inherited, the truth about the things we've done, the truth about what we've allowed ourselves to become. It's hard to admit that maybe we aren't who we thought, aren't even who we want to be, and maybe never were. Well, shit, that's bleak. But it's only at this point, when we've shaken off the old stories and gained a full understanding of the sequence of our past, the reasons for our present, do we have hope for the future? And it's only when we've let go of those stories of who and what we were, do we get to decide who and what we want to be. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Why not try to be kind? At its best, kindness can make someone's day better, someone's life better. At its worst, it's neutral, no harm done. And if we try to come at things in this life with kindness, we have space to grow, to learn, to get things wrong, but then make it right. Kindness costs us nothing, but it has the potential for immense social and spiritual good. Admirable ideals upon which to define an identity. Special thanks for this episode go to interviewees Michael Bruno, John Madura, Adam Gearhart, Kate Buckman, Aline Martinez, Remy Walker, Jeremy Yost, and Tom Herman. To Mike Smith and the crew at Fact 8 TV in Bellows Falls, Vermont, for their permission to use clips of their documentary, Called to Duty, the story of Dana Fuller and Terry Brown. If you're interested in watching the full documentary, you can find it on YouTube, Fact 8 TV, or find these links in the show notes of this episode. Transcripts are provided in the show notes on the episode page on our website, thesecretlifeofdeath.com. We'd love to hear any memories of stories from Andrew's Inn from back in the day, especially from those in the BIPOC communities or any female folks. Email us at admin@thesecretlifeofdeath.com. Music provided with permission by Epidemic Sound. For more information about this podcast, weekly posts, and fun extras, find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Secret Life of Death Podcast. You can download our shows from our website or find them on any podcast platform. Please subscribe, rate the show, and tell a friend. It really helps.